Matthew and Sam Miltich from Grand Rapids. Welcome you two.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're happy to have you in the studio again. You guys are performing tonight at 9 down at the Park Stage for Fisherman's Picnic.
Yes.
With your quartet, right?
Yes.
And but you had some serious weather there a couple weeks ago, right?
That we did.
We did. We had major wind that came through and lost incredible numbers of trees. And it's impossible even for... I live on 60 acres, and it's impossible for me to compute how many trees are down just on my place.
Wow.
And there are places where the pines came down as if it were wheat and a swather had come through.
Sounds like the 1999 blowdown here.
Yeah, very reminiscent, actually. I thought of that immediately when I drove around Grand Rapids and then walked through the woods. Very similar images, but it seemed to be very localized, where it was like these funnels of air that would come through, and then you'd go 2 miles up the road, and it hadn't happened there. And I live in northeast Grand Rapids, and we seemed to fare all right. We lost some trees, but southwest Grand Rapids lost just an incredible amount of trees. So I was very, it would be an interesting thing to study as a meteorologist.
It must have been something like what happens in a fast-moving stream where there are side streams and eddies.
Oh.
And then areas where the current is much swifter, because there are places where the trees are all down and just even a few
yards
away.
That's a great visual.
Yeah, it is.
To figure that out.
Sounds like a good future interview topic, actually. Yeah. That'd be interesting.
You know, we're dealing with fluids, so, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's so sad to see especially some of those older trees that come down. And you don't replace them, particularly now for me. They're not going to be replaced for me to see.
Yeah.
So. Sam, you may see them, but...
Well, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Anyway, and plus there's a big process before even regrowth can start, unlike a fire.
It's interesting, though. There are parts of the woods that have just opened up, and suddenly there'll be new sunlight. So,
Well, maybe you'll get raspberries.
Yeah, we were just talking about that in the car. So
raspberries.
Trying to think of something positive from it.
Yes, exactly.
I like raspberries.
Mm-hmm, me too. Well, since you guys have been on, I don't know if many is the right word, but quite a few times before, and... Matthew and I had spoken earlier, maybe a month or so ago, and thought it might be interesting to talk about what it's like to make a living as a rural musician. And I think that would be interesting to folks here. We have a lot of people here either trying to do that or going out to listen to musicians. So
certainly.
You said you were talking about it in the car on the way over here. Matthew, have you always made your living as a musician?
No, I've worked also as a community college teacher.
Okay.
But... trying to make a living as a musician in a rural area has certain challenges, but it also has great advantages. The first of which is you get to live in the rural area, and
that's big.
That's the big one.
Yep.
Well, if you were born and raised in the North Woods, the idea, if that's what you love, if that really feels like home, the idea of leaving it for good to go to a major urban area to make a living as a musician is just sort of anathema, just something you can't consider. And Sam has lived in urban areas and played with groups from San Francisco and in the Twin Cities and played in New York and so forth. And he knows a little bit of that life. But he was born and raised in the North, just as I was. And if you want to stay home, there are ways to find a way to stay home.
Yeah, I always talk about my experience living in an urban area as I did my time in St. Paul for about 9 months and ventured back as quickly as I could. So, but you know, I made a real pointed effort to you know, you have to make sort of an intentional decision as a musician to say I'm going to live in a rural region. I'm going to continue to pursue my art. And you know, it was very intentional for me, and I knew very quickly that an urban setting was not the setting for me, because I guess I don't feel like I can be defined simply as a musician. That's certainly an aspect of my personality and who I am, but, you know, I'm a lover of the outdoors, and I really value solitude and private time to myself in the outdoors, and I try and fish at least once a week, and I love gardening, and my favorite time of year is fast approaching the fall season, and I love to hunt and fish, and quite frankly, the reason I was drawn to music to begin with was because of the beauty of it. And what I really love is I love rich harmonies. They really seem to affect me, because that's like where the beauty is in music for me, is in the harmonies, and that always attracted me. And it's beauty that gets me. And when I look around my native land of northern Minnesota, that's what I see, is great, tremendous beauty. And I hear that in music and see that in art. And I just want to live a life as close to beauty as I can. So that's why I chose music and the North Woods, among many other decisions I've made about how I want to surround myself for my time here on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Now you... Do you make your living full-time?
I do.
As a musician?
Yeah, I've been performing. I've been playing since I was 13. I'm 27 now. And I've been performing probably since I was about 15 or 16. And, you know, on varying degrees of professional performance, everything from, you know, playing a picnic, you know, 3 miles down the road for $50 to playing at Lincoln Center or being on a Prairie Home Companion. And,
wow.
You know, being on National Public Radio, we actually had the opportunity to play in Ginza in Tokyo for the first annual Ginza Jazz Fest. So the degrees to which I've done it are quite varied and quite wide, and there's a lot of different experiences from all that different kind of performance.
I guess I remember you came up here and played when you were a teenager, right?
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. We owned a cabin on the shore, and we were up jamming, my dad and I, and he called the Gunflint Tavern, as it was a music venue. He said, well, do you guys have any music down there tonight? And they said, no, the guy canceled. And he said, well, do you want some? So we took our guitar.
Good work, Dad.
Yeah, we took our guitar and our bass when we really, truly didn't know what the heck we were doing musically, and went down there and did our thing, and have been playing and performing in Grand Marais ever since. We've played at the Gunflint Tavern, and then at the Arrowhead Center. And then we used to play when there was a little bistro here.
Oh.
That Kevin
Victoria's Bake House.
Victoria's Bake House.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We played there and
sang for our supper.
Sang for our supper and had played down at North House Folk School at one point down in that, for a celebration down there. And so Grand Marais is very near and dear to our hearts, and we always comment about when we have to load into the band van and drive 169 towards Elk River and Rogers to go towards Minneapolis, sort of a sense of dread. And, you know, no offense to the people who do love urban areas, that's wonderful and fine, but my own personal experience is I feel a sense of dread having to go into the belly of the beast on 94 there. And how the drive from, you know, Grand Rapids to Eveleth, and from Eveleth to Silver Bay, and from Silver Bay to Grand Marais is a completely different experience. And along that route, we've seen moose numerous times. A couple months ago, we saw a wolf right along the side of the road. He sat and watched us, and we watched him for about 2 minutes, and eyeing each other and trying to figure out what was what. And, you know, that's actually a great advantage to working in northern Minnesota.
Yep.
Is we've seen wonderful swaths of country. We drove to I Falls for a wedding here last week, and, you know, driving up Highway 6 to 71 and 11, going up to Rainy Lake and playing a wedding on Rainy Lake. It's pretty nice.
That is pretty nice. Well, speaking of playing, can we get you to play a song, and then
sure.
We'll talk some more?
Yep, absolutely. This is a piece that I recorded an album with a friend of mine named Dave Carr, and we titled our album after this song. This is titled Darn That Dream. Thank you.
Beautiful. That was Sam Miltich.
Talk about unjangly. You know, it's not like going driving to the cities. That song we just heard.
Yeah. So. No, that was very soothing.
Yeah. I was kind of curious. We were talking a little bit about difficulties of playing music and living, you know, a life in rural Minnesota without other work.
Yes.
What happens if the phone doesn't ring for a while? Do you get nervous?
Yeah, it's a strange thing, like all small business people. You know, I've been fortunate to have, I guess, hopefully built up somewhat of a good reputation. And believe it or not, I've been working 4 or 5 days a week throughout the summer pretty much.
Wow.
Playing music. We luckily, we have a weekly gig at our local VFW. And then, so doing a Wednesday is always a given. And then frequently playing on Friday and Saturday. And then summertime, so much stuff is going on. You get Sunday and Thursday type gigs. And so I've been quite busy. But yes, there are times such as February and January when it gets a little bit lean. And I think a lot of musicians, I do teach a few lessons, and a lot of musicians teach lessons, you know, to make a living, whether that's in a large city or in a small town. And I think that's another way for those who are pursuing that. That's a good way to make a little more of a stable income. And the other end of it is not everyone can do it. You know, a huge part of the success I've had is simply just good luck. I've had good luck. I've been really fortunate to have had sort of good breaks at different points in my career. And I've been really lucky in that regards. And I just try and put a strong work ethic into my craft, my art, and a lot of it is just sort of leaving it up to good faith that the universe will respond to what you're creating, and you know, I've been fortunate, so you know, I realize it's a privilege that I get to do what I get to do.
And you've got a father who's also very talented
and supportive.
You.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know if I could have managed to do what I do without having my parents. I am now a parent myself. I have a son who's 1.5 years. And I remember being in high school and dad saying, "I'm cooking supper. Go upstairs and practice because someday you're going to have a kid and this is going to be you. So take this opportunity." And now I'm cooking supper.
So. Well, other than the what you just spoke about, you know, the kind of waiting for the phone to ring, or maybe there are the lean months. What other challenges do you find might be peculiar to, you know, being a rural musician?
One of the really important things is that the sheer number of musicians available to play with is just much smaller in rural areas. And so, for example, if you had, say you were playing the Fisherman's Picnic in Grand Marais, and you'd contracted with a fellow musician from the Twin Cities to play with you, and then he calls and says, with very little notice, "You know, I got a better gig, so I'm gonna just ditch the gig." That sort of thing does happen, and so in such circumstances, you don't necessarily have dozens of other people you can call to substitute or to fill in. And part of it is just good luck, but you have to sort of facilitate good relationships with musicians from other communities, because you're not always going to have the people to play with in your community. Even if you have regulars, they'll be gone on vacation, they'll have complications or difficulties, they can't make gigs. And so we're very fortunate that we know a number of people from the Twin Cities who are really fine musicians who've been willing to come up and play with us here.
As well as people from other cities like Duluth and Bemidji, who we know, especially where there's college towns, there seems to be more jazz, you know, those professors there and the students there.
Sure. So we've noticed around here that, you know, the bands change members quite a bit, or people mix it up. You know, do you have that a lot?
You have to do that.
That's just how it is.
But, you know, that's good for you in a way, because you learn that you can fit in with others and others can fit in with your groups fairly quickly. You get to the point where you can look at a chart and just be right on the music, be right there, not worry about it. And that's a confidence builder. So it's good to be able to switch in and out. And actually, urban musicians do that a lot too.
Yeah,
I remember hearing a couple of really good musicians in Cincinnati, a bass player and a guitar player. And I said to the guitar player, we were having a conversation during the break. I said, "Man, you sound great with the bass. The bass is really tight." He says, "Yeah, I never played with the guy before."
Wow. That's great. Well, and tell us about who you're playing with tonight and what the music's going to sound like.
Well, this is kind of a nice gig. We have my good friend Mike Miller, who's a graduate of Grand Rapids High School, and has his wife and my wife were good friends, and we did not know each other, but we knew of each other through the music scene. And Mike and his wife Marissa moved back to town, and Katie said, "Well, why don't you call Mike? You know, he plays drums. You should get together with him." And I said, "You know, yeah, I'll give him a call." And we got together, and since then we've been playing for almost 3 years now with Mike, and he's just a terrific musician. He's really flexible and fluent. He's a very easy guy to work with, and he's playing drums with us, and he'll do a little bit of singing. And then Russ Sackett, who lives in Duluth now, but is also from Grand Rapids. So it's an all Grand Rapids band, and he'll be playing keyboard with us. And a lot of times, the style in which I play is a lot of times determined by the instrumentation that I have available to me. So because I have drums and a piano, I'll be doing more sort of straight ahead American swing and jazz. And we have the opportunity to work with, say, acoustic guitarists and violin players will play more of our hot club gypsy jazz style. So a lot of I've needed to learn to be flexible in that, you know, say the rhythm guitarist isn't available, it's going to be a straight ahead gig, or the drummer isn't available, it's going to have to be a gypsy jazz gig. And I've also when I was younger, I dabbled in some bluegrass and fiddle tunes and sort of old-time fiddle music. And we do some of that up in northern Minnesota, too, because that seems to be a music that people strongly relate to. And so I've got I've kind of had to be somewhat a jack of all trades just by nature of it. And that happens in the musician's world. You know, you have to be flexible, and you have to know a lot of different styles, and you need to be able to learn music quickly. And
it's sort of like living on a rural homestead. You have to master a lot of skills. You don't necessarily have to make a living at any one of them, but you better be prepared. You better be flexible.
So you've got a keyboard tonight,
yes.
And you've got drums.
Yep.
And you know, as I get a little older, I have my senior moments once in a while. But I need to ask you this, Matthew. Did you remember your bass?
Yes, I actually brought it this time.
Since I don't see it in here, I just wanted to be sure.
It just seemed that with just the two of us here, it might be simpler just for Sam to break in and the guitar. But I did remember my bass.
Okay.
And so far, I haven't forgotten it on a single gig.
Perfect.
Though we did have a bandmate. We were traveling from Sioux Falls area, South Dakota.
Younger than I am.
Younger, yeah. And by just, well, a few years. And we were going to play the Twin Cities Jazz Fest, and the Winter Jazz Fest. And we got 15, 30 miles down the road, and I said, "I forgot my pillow, Dad." And he said, "Well, you know, let's just go back. It's a nice feather pillow. We'll pick it up. We're not that far. We got enough time." Well, we get to the hotel, and the woman who was cleaning rooms said, "You know, I found a guitar in one of the rooms, and our guitarist had forgotten his guitar. So luckily, we had gone back for the feather pillow, you know, and wound up bringing a guitar back with us." And that was interesting. And then further down the road on Interstate 90, we had two cars because we had a lot of gear, and the guitarist's car broke down on the side of the road, so all four of us crammed into the vehicle. And so there's lots of stories that go on and on. But you know, I was thinking about sort of the rural musician thing, and it's sort of like living in a rural area, period, where when my now wife and I decided we were going to make our home in northern Minnesota, she's from Grand Rapids as well, I said, you know, it's going to be catch as catch can. You know, when we first move up there, we're going to have to do a lot of things to make it work. And a lot of people in rural areas do a lot of little jobs.
Yep.
They scrabble, you know, to get things we put together. That. Yeah, mm-hmm. everyone up here mm-hmm. in Cook County knows same that. Way. People in Itasca County know that. And the same is true for musicians, you know? I mean, we're going to play a little Italian restaurant, and then we're going to play a concert venue, and then we're going to play this wedding, and then we're going to do a bluegrass show, and then we're going to do a gypsy swing show. And then, you know, and I knew that was the case, you know? And so you have to know that going into it and be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear some more music.
Me
how about
too.
You?
More music. More
yes,
music.
Please.
All right. Let's see here.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you.
That was impressive.
I like to just watch that.
Well, yeah, it's a nice song. It's called Melody au Crepuscule, or Twilight's Melody. So I thought it was appropriate for the time of day.
It is. I guess by the time you guys start playing tonight, it's going to be almost dark.
It will be.
Well, you know, Dad and I were both commenting on one of the things I really enjoy about the fall, late summer and fall, is how the light changes, mm-hmm. especially in these northern parts of the world at 47 degrees north. And how the shadows become much longer.
Yep.
I really enjoy that.
Notice that already just since yep. the solstice, the light has really changed.
Yep.
Great for photography, but it's great for life, too.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you like change, we have it.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty.
I hate change.
Oh, you don't.
Yeah.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Matthew and Sam Miltich. They're from Grand Rapids, and they're going to be playing with the Sam Miltich Quartet this evening at the Park Stage in Harbor Park for Fisherman's Picnic. And then I understand you guys are off to some other...
Yes.
Another small town gig.
Yes, we will be, tomorrow we will be playing north of Hibbing in the little village of Side Lake for a wedding up there. So we'll be staying with a friend this evening and then waking up and jetting down to Silver Bay and across the forest road, and maybe we'll see a moose.
Jetting in the van?
In the band van, yes. Yeah, exactly.
You don't yet have your own airplane.
Not
like
yet.
The Rolling Stones.
No, like band bush planes for us rural musicians.
That would be cool. That's actually a great idea. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, you could tie the bass on behind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could see it like flailing in the wind on the cord.
The spruce moose, right?
The spruce moose, yeah. The spruce goose.
I like that. Well, now, when was the last time you were here? It was in June?
Yeah, I think we were here in either May or June at the Gunflint.
It was May.
Was it May?
Okay.
Yeah,
May. The black flies were in season.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Must have been May then. Do you come every couple months?
Yep, yep. Usually every 4 months or so. And we were here in May. And we brought my friend from California here, who is not a rural musician.
Yeah. Guitar player from San Francisco.
That's right.
Yes. And we played at the tavern two nights, and then...
With a wonderful cello player from Northfield, Minnesota.
Yes. And...
Martha Larson.
And then we decided we'd take a Boundary Waters trip after 5 days of gigging. Well, that was fun.
And Jason Vanderford...
But very interesting.
Jason Vanderford was the rhythm guitar player who was with us, and he thought he had waterproof clothing... But it turns out they're waterproof in California, but not in Cook County.
Oh, no.
Really?
So we saved him from hypothermia, I think.
But I will say we had the best smallmouth bass fishing of my life anyways, we had tremendous...
Did you?
Tremendous smallmouth bass fishing.
Well, I know you can't say where, but I'm glad it was fun.
Not a word.
See, it was all worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it all came out in the wash.
That's right. Yes.
And it was wet and 41 degrees when we paddled out.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Well, we've had a lot of 80 lately, but which is Ann's favorite temperature, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking forward to these a little cooler, maybe 10 degrees cooler.
Is that Aegean influence?
It is. It must be it.
Yeah.
But it's 70 now. It's totally perfect weather for being outside and listening to music.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Will it be hard for you when you get on the stage tonight if it cools down a little bit with your instruments?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because I love being in the outdoors, and I actually do like playing music outdoors, but outdoor festivals can be kind of hard because we're dealing with sound equipment, and we're always a little worried about rain.
Oh, yeah.
And when it gets cooler... I like playing outside when it's warmer, but when it gets cooler, the fingers start to almost feel arthritic to me because you're trying to be so dexterous with your hands. And when you know what it's like when your hands are cold and trying to do anything.
And does your instrument get out of tune faster?
Yeah, it goes out of tune a lot faster. I just wind up tuning a lot. So it's fun, but it's a little bit more of a challenge, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And how about the big bass?
Well, the bass is subject to, because it's so big, there's so much wood. Wood is subject to expansion and contraction, so temperature is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the scariest stuff is winter transport, because really, really cold temperatures can cause the bass to crack.
Oh, sure.
On the other hand, the humidity in the summer is actually quite good for the bass. I have to put dampets in it during dry weather, and especially, we burn wood a lot for heat. And that really dries a house out, so I have to make sure that the bass stays moist. But big variation in temperature changes the pitch of the strings too, so you have to keep tuning to keep it in tune. To some people, that's not a big issue, but we care, so it's a big issue for us.
I've always been out of tune.
Your kazoo seems like it's in tune, Buck.
Oh, yeah, the kazoo's okay.
Yeah. What's a dampet, Matthew?
Oh, sorry. A dampet is it's sort of like the strands that you would use on a mop when you're mopping a floor. They're very absorbent with a rubber covering. It's long, and you attach it to the string and put it right into the F-hole of the bass.
Hmm.
Or they're used for guitars and for cellos, et cetera. The bass requires a fairly large one, but if you dampen it every day, it'll keep the humidity inside the instrument higher, and that keeps it from cracking, you hope.
Yep.
Plan A.
We learn something here every time, don't we?
That's because I forget it, too. I have to keep learning, but it's great.
I think we would have time for one more tune, if you are willing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sam Miltich and his father, who forgot to bring his bass in, won't be joining him on this one.
All right, this is a piece that's titled Nuage, and this is we recorded this piece two times on two separate albums, and this is a composition by Django Reinhardt, who is one of my great musical inspirations, and I'll forge ahead with this tune, Nuage. Thank you.
You know, watching that, Buck, I had the same thought as I had when I was watching the gymnasts on the uneven parallel bars the other night. Is that they make it look so easy, and it must take so much practice.
It's a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's made perfect.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was Sam and Matthew Miltich, and they'll be joined by two other members of the quartet at 9 o'clock this evening.
Yep.
So I hope you folks can wander down that way. That's right in the middle of Harbor Park.
Yeah.
Can't hardly miss it.
You don't want to miss it.
And in the meantime, we're going to try and find a fish sandwich somewhere.
Oh, that's easy. The fish burger stand.
That's what I figured. It shouldn't be too hard in this place this time of year. So.
Thank you both so much.
Yeah, thank you
for stopping in.
For
being
here. Our pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
That's just great.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to be here.